Well, tonight I'm going to be talking about God's garden, and we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 3:9, and this is in the Amplified, this scripture. And we'll wait a minute because you probably don't have an Amplified in front of you. You do. You're probably the only one here. We're going to be using the Amplified several times tonight, and mostly it's New King James, but we're not finding it. There we go. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3:9, it says, "For we are fellow workmen, joint promoters, laborers together with and for God. You are God's garden and vineyard and field under cultivation. You are God's building." So we are God's garden under cultivation. How many have had a garden in your house? We do, I know, and a flower garden or whatever. A garden needs constant attention. You know, weeds need pulled. The plants themselves need to be pruned sometimes, and you're fighting bugs in the garden always. So a garden under cultivation is a place of work. And even though we are a work in progress, it states that we are laborers together with God. Hallelujah. And we are right now. You know, we are a garden under cultivation. We are in process. God's still working on us. But in the meantime, right now, he says we are co-laborers with him. Hallelujah. That's good news. It also calls us God's building. In any building under construction, there's always every day messes to clean up. You know, have you ever been in a building project where you're doing something to your house or building something? Any building under construction, there's just constant cleanup. You know, there's just constant keeping up with it and cleaning up. And so even though we are a garden under cultivation, and even though we are God's building, and there's things that God's working on in our life, we are called laborers together with God right now. Hallelujah. We're going to look at Isaiah 61:3, and we're going to look at God's purpose for us. And it says, "To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." So God's at work in us, you know, consoling us, giving us beauty for ashes. He's changing the oil of joy for mourning, and he's giving us a spirit of praise instead of heaviness. Hallelujah. So he's working on us. He's in work at us. Hallelujah. And it says that we be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. In the Message version, it says that we are planted by God to display his glory. He planted his life in us that his glory would be seen in us. When Jesus was here and walked the earth, how did he display God's glory? We're going to look at that in Matthew 4:23-24. And it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went out through all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted in various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them." So Jesus displayed his glory. I mean, God displayed his glory through Jesus by setting the captive free, by healing the sick. And how do we display God's glory? We're going to look at Mark 16, and we're going to read 15 and then go down to verse 20. And he, Jesus, said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And they went out, in verse 20, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. We can only glorify God and do his works through a relationship with him. There's no way that we can do it on our own. You know, we can't heal a fly. We can't, you know, we just have no power in ourselves. But it's through the Holy Spirit in us that we can glorify the Lord with what we do. Hallelujah. John 15, 1 through 5. And Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides or lives in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." By ourselves, we can do nothing. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." That's good news. Amen. When we are connected to God, his desires, when we're connected to that vine, when we're connected to our spirit man, when we're in tune with the Lord through our spirit man, we hear his voice, and his desires become our desires because the life flows through the vine to the branches, and we're a branch. But if we're connected to him, his heart is going to come alive in us. You know, Jesus told us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. He asked us to pray that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, is there sickness in heaven? Are there demon-possessed people in heaven? You know, are there any of these things in heaven? Well, we are to ask God that his will be done on this earth where we live just like it is in heaven. That's God's heart. This passage in John is about being connected so that we can be fruitful. In the world, the work ethic is to achieve and produce by working longer and harder. The focus on getting results is through our human effort. People try to get better results by working harder and trying harder in human effort. But God's way is oriented toward process and relationship rather than performance and production. God is interested in results, which he calls fruit, but not by pushing us to work harder. The Lord's way is to work with us and through us, that every result comes out of our abiding in him, because it says without him we can do nothing. But as we abide in him, that's when the fruit can begin to come forth in our life. This is opposite of the culture that we live in today and to human nature in general. We're constantly bombarded with self-help books, promoting self, self-esteem, self-confidence, self-control. Our society we live in is all about self. What can I do to make myself better? You know, and we're really a selfish, self-centered people. And we try to, you know, we try to help God out by doing what we want to help him, and it really doesn't work. We can't do anything supernatural in ourselves. It only comes through his spirit flowing through us. Hallelujah. Our fruit that we bear comes from an intimate relationship with God. And the only way we can become fruitful is to understand the Lord's fruit-bearing process. If we lay down our natural human independence and become dependent on Him and abide in Him, abide in the vine, then we can bear fruit. So it's not what we can do through effort, it's how we connect and let Him flow through us and stay connected to Him in fellowship with Him. You know, love Him, fellowship with Him, talk to Him all day, listen to Him, stay connected, and then we'll begin to bear fruit. Colossians 1:10 says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. This isn't only talking about intellectual knowledge, because John 4:24 says, God's a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So learning about God is more than just learning about Him. It's getting to know Him through His Word, through the Spirit, through spending time in prayer and walking with Him. Hallelujah. Going to Colossians 1:27, it says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Remember in Isaiah, it says that we were planted to display God's glory. And it's Christ in us that will display His glory. Well, in the Trinity, Christ stands for the anointing. Christ means the anointed one, or the power of the Holy Spirit. And so as we know the working of the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, we are led by this Spirit and guided by this Spirit, then we will display God's glory. We're going to look a little bit at some things of the Spirit. We're going to John 14. We're going to read 16 through 17 and then drop down to 26. And this is in the Amplified. And it says, and I will ask the, just as Jesus praying, and He said, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. That's who the Holy Spirit is to us. He's our comforter. He is our counselor. We get our counsel from the Holy Ghost. He is our helper. He helps us when we don't know what to do. And He's our intercessor. He stands between mankind and God through us. He intercedes through us in behalf of the creation. He is our advocate, which is our lawyer. He defends us. He stands up for us. Hallelujah. He's our strengthener and our standby. He's always there with us. Hallelujah. I'm going to go on now. That He may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive or welcome into take into its heart, because it does not see Him or know or recognize Him, for He lives with you constantly and will be in you. And so the Holy Spirit was with people, but when the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts, then God came in us. You know, He came, that Holy Spirit dropped down inside of us. Hallelujah. So He's there with us. Hallelujah. And down to verse 26, it says, but the comforter, the counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, He will teach you all things, and He will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to remembrance everything I have told you. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit does that for us. When we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, He will bring, you know, if he's directed us to be talk to somebody about the Lord, He will just bring up scriptures in our heart. He will show us what to say. He will just give us the right words. He's there. You know, things that we may have forgotten up here, he will remind us from here how to flow with him and what to say. Hallelujah. We're going on to read Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And this is from the Amplified again. It says, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, continence. Against such, there's no law that can bring a charge. These things are character traits of the Holy Spirit. And when we're led by the Spirit and living in the Spirit, these character traits begin to come through us and begin to manifest in our life. This is who the Holy Spirit is. And as we abide in the vine and abide in the Lord, these are the things that will come forth out of our life. Hallelujah. The gifts of the Spirit work with the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says in Galatians 5, 6 that faith actually works through love. And the word for works in the Greek there is energeo, is from which we get our word energy. In other words, faith is energized by love. So all of the gifts of the Spirit are energized by the fruits of the Spirit in our life. So it's just like they really work together, the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. But we need the nature of the Holy Spirit working in us to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Healing and working in miracles are also energized by love. Remember when Jesus was here and so many times in the New Testament it says, and he had compassion on them. When the multitudes were there and they were hungry and they were a long ways from home, he said he had compassion on them. And then the food was multiplied and they were fed. And so many times there were, and with the sick people and the demon possessed people, he had compassion on them. You know, his compassion went out and then the miracles took place and they were healed and they were set free. And so the compassion is like a fruit of the Spirit that energizes the gifts of the Spirit. We see that. The fruit of the Holy Ghost working within us energizes the gifts of the Spirit to move. Hallelujah. Gifts are energized by the character that comes by being connected to the vine. Without the energy of the character traits of the Spirit flowing through our lives, we won't be able to exercise the gifts consistently or with excellence. Only integrity, because the fruit of the Spirit is all things of integrity. Only integrity joined with passion can enable us to move in the anointing. We're going to look at John 15, 11 through 14. Jesus speaking, and he said, I have spoken these things to you so that my joy might remain in you and your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Do we love the Lord enough to lay our own desires aside and to do what he's leading us to do? Because we're, you know, our flesh always wants its own way. And we're set on doing things a certain way and a certain, you know, we get in a flow of what this is what I'm going to do. Do we love the Lord enough when he gives us a gentle nudging to stop and do what he tells us to do and lay what we were doing aside? Hallelujah. 1 John 4:16 says, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. So love is just a key measuring stick of how we're connecting to the vine, how we are connecting to the Lord. When we are in love with Jesus and love his people, fruit just happens. This scripture was one of Calvin's dad's. It came alive to him because he had been born again, but he kept questioning his salvation. And he was like, well, Lord, have I really been born again? Do I really know you? I want to know you, but do I really? And then the Lord showed him that scripture, and he says, I do. Because Calvin's dad was a fighter. He was just rough, and he would just get in a fist fights with anybody over the drop of a hat. He was raised in a fighting family, and they liked to fight. They were quarrelsome and loved to fight. I mean, they would get in fist fights in downtown Estancia. But when he got born again, all of a sudden he didn't want to fight anymore, and he just loved everybody. One guy came at him and accused him wrongly of doing something that he didn't do, and the guy just busted him, knocked him out, and expected him to tie right back into him. And he says, no, I don't fight anymore. I don't have any desire to fight. And then the Lord showed him that scripture, and he says, I do know God, because my nature of fight has changed. I just love people. Hallelujah. James 4:3. It says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. This makes it clear that we fail to receive from God when we ask with the wrong purpose or selfish motives. Our prayer, and God wants us blessed, but our prayers need to be flowing out of our spirit man. You know, it needs to be the deep cries of our heart. We need to want the same thing God wants. You know, our desires need to parallel what God desires, what he wants to do. And God, what do you think about Douglas? How do you feel about Douglas? How should I feel about it? The way that God feels about it. Amen? 1 Corinthians 13:8 tells us that love never fails. So where there's love and love motivating things, it can't fail. John 14:21, and this one is in the New Living Translation. It says, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. And so obedience is very important. We can say, oh, I love you, God. But if we don't obey him, you know, if he tells us things in his word, if he puts things in our heart and we just ignore him, that shows that love is not really there, that we love ourselves more than we love him. Delayed obedience is really disobedience. If God tells us to do something, the longer we wait, the less effective it's going to be. When God puts something on our heart, it's just like, obey right now. You know, it's like you train your kids. When I tell you something, it means right now. Obey now. And God wants us to have willing hearts to obey him. When he tells us something, we need to just say, yes, Lord, yes. A lot of times the Lord will put something on our hearts and we'll say, well, let me pray about it. Eric's mom was training somebody, had hired somebody to work for their church in Hawaii. And every time she would ask this person to do something, they said, well, I'll pray about it. It was Ipo. And finally, Terry said, you don't need to pray about it. I've already prayed about it, and this is what I want you to do. But you know, if God tells us to do something, he already knows what he wants us to do, and we don't need to carry on long bouts of conversation and argue with him about it. If he tells us to do something, we don't need to stop and, you know, pray for days and days and days. Well, God, did you really mean that? You know, we just need to be quick to obey what he tells us to do. Hallelujah. When we're walking with the Holy Spirit, we can hear his voice, and then we need to obey his leading. Learn to continually respond to the nudging of your spirit. And you know, sometimes he will nudge us to say, you know, ask that person if they want prayer, if they need prayer, if they're hurting, and you know, offer to pray for them, or he'll just want you to say, maybe they're just having a down, bad day, just be friendly to them, just love them, just be nice, and smile, and it can lift their spirits. And on the other hand, sometimes we get into conversations that are really not pleasing to God, and we'll just get this ugly, yucky feeling inside of us, and it's just like, you don't want to be a part of this conversation. You just, it grieves the Holy Spirit within us to hear the things that are saying, and our flesh likes to go along with it and agree and add more fuel to the fire. That's the flesh's way. But if we feel a tugging of the Holy Spirit and we're in a conversation that's not pleasing to the Holy Spirit, we need to just say, well, excuse me, I've got to do something. Just get away from it. Obey those nudgings of the Holy Ghost. When God says, okay, this isn't going my way, you need to back off and leave it alone. And so we need to hear what the Lord would say. Hallelujah. Some people think that they have to become more stable or a better person before they can do what God tells them to do. This is a deception from Satan. Remember, God says we are his garden under cultivation. And so we aren't going to get to a place of perfection before we obey him. When he tells us we need to obey, in the act of our obedience, we meet God's grace and his character is developed in us. Most of the time when God asks us to do something, it's uncomfortable to our flesh. A lot of times when God asks us to do something, it's uncomfortable to our flesh, not our spirit, but our flesh. When God asks us to do something, it requires faith that we say, okay, God, you know, I trust you. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. God wants us to draw our strength on him and be dependent on him, not our own abilities. We like to think, I can handle this, I can do it. But God's always asking us to do something that we can't handle on our own because he wants us to depend on him and his wisdom and his strength. He wants us to be dependent on him. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And so I have noticed this a lot of times in things that the Lord has asked us to do. It's things that's difficult for my flesh, but I ask for his grace. The first time, I've always been terrified of heights. I mean, just terrified of heights. I don't like them. Don't like high places or steep places. And the first trip into Batopilas, and we went on the most worst road. And we were, you know, we would look down almost straight 5,000 feet on a road that we were just barely scraping by on. It was really an experience. And all that day, I just said, Lord, I draw on your grace. You have us here in your plan and in your purpose, and I draw on your grace. And God's grace was there. I mean, there's no way my flesh could have handled that. But I drew on God's grace all day. I said, God, thank you. You're here. We're here in your plan, and you're carrying us through. Hallelujah. And he did. And another thing I've always hated are bugs. And we went to Colombia, South America, and slept in sleeping bags on the floor in the middle of the jungle. And we would shake our sleeping bags out before we went to sleep. And we couldn't even get to sleep till the bugs were just crawling all over us. And they were just everywhere. There was no way you were going to keep the bugs out. And God was there. God's grace was there. He meets you where you are and gives you the ability to do what he asks you to do. His grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. He wants us to be dependent on him, to rely on him. Ephesians 3:17 through 19 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, becoming rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what's the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. God wants to fill us with himself, and it's not through our own effort. It's through turning loose of our own will and trusting him and obeying him and following him and living in him and listening and obeying him. Even or especially if it's difficult on our flesh, obey him, because that's when his grace will come through and he will flow and he will do what we can't do. Isaiah 61, 10 and 11 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Hallelujah. I mean, this is something we need to speak to ourselves. I will to greatly rejoice in the Lord. And that can happen. I mean, we need to do that whether we feel like it or not. We make a decision in our will. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. I will be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. That's pretty awesome. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Hallelujah. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, So the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is so incredible. God planted a son, Jesus, and he died that there might be many sons. And it says his kingdom will never end, but it will increase and increase and increase and increase. And sometimes we look at the news and we look at people and we look at fear and we think, oh, you know, we used to consider ourselves a Christian nation, but now it's like, is the nation Christian itself? No, but God is on the move and his kingdom will increase. It won't decrease. It will increase. Hallelujah. And we are part of that kingdom. We are God's garden. We are his building. He's working in us. And we don't wait till we're perfected to start doing anything. Our actual listening to the Lord and doing things is actually what helps us to grow in the Lord and for his strength to be made perfect in our weakness. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God is good. Does anybody have a testimony tonight? That kind of came up in my heart this afternoon. Somebody may have a testimony. Hallelujah. God is just so good, so good, so good. Amen. Hallelujah.
I just wanted to testify to God's faithfulness. As you know, Mitch is a teacher, and during the summer he doesn't work, and he doesn't get paid the same way as he does during the school year. So summers are always kind of tight for us because I only work 2 days a week. But God just provided for us all through the summer, and we were never in lack. And the last month or so, we're getting ready for Sonia's wedding and all the things that are coming up with that. And there's been quite a few unexpected expenses that have come up, just life things. And Mitch is in the process of getting back on his school stuff. So it was a hard month financially looking at the numbers. And twice there was, last week we had a workers' meeting and they had a raffle and I won money from that raffle. And then when I was at work yesterday, I was told that I am going to get a bonus on this next paycheck because of something that had happened at work. And so with those two things, God has covered the unexpected expenses. And I was just reminded, I got kind of down a little bit, to be honest. I was like, man, you know, I mean, looking at the situation, and then it's like God just keeps reminding me, like, I'm faithful, and if you sow into me, I'm going to give back to you. And so I just wanted to testify that he is always faithful when we put him first, and he's good.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. I knew you had a testimony. Denise was nudging you.
Hallelujah. I'm trying to figure out where to start this one because just a little something that God did on Sunday. I guess you could say he's been working on me, working on my faith, working on my believing, working on my trusting. And something was said during the service that just triggered a little something. Didn't really think much of it initially, but something that was, it got me thinking, and then I kind of forgot about it. And towards the end of the service, I believe the Holy Spirit just kind of within me, I was doing as we were reading this evening, that the desires of our heart, that God's desires would become our desires. And I had to process this a little bit to figure, okay, so where did this come from? And it came from God desired something that, or I desired something that God was desiring. And as I was praying kind of in my spirit, because I didn't actually say anything, my prayer was, Lord, I want to take Denise to lunch today. And I didn't come prepared for it. It was just one of those things that it was pastor's fault. And I kind of left it at that. I was just like, you know, Lord, I know she would love that. I would love to do that for her. And I didn't come prepared for that. It didn't actually verbalize anything. And I know there is power in our words. It was just something stirred up on the inside of me. Well, it couldn't have been more than 2 or 3 minutes. I was walking back to my seat and someone had asked, hey, so what are you guys doing this afternoon? I said, well, nothing really. You don't have any plans? I said, no, pretty much just go home and relax. He says, well, I'd like to take you both for lunch. I was like, okay, Lord. And so we went and had a great 2-hour conversation, and it was a glorious time. God ordained that time. But it wasn't that. That was a sample. What God was showing me is, if I care about things that little, then those big things that you're carrying, those big things that you want, those big prayers you want to see met, aren't I going to take care of those things as well? Aren't those things truly important? And it was a lesson for me. It was a very humbling lesson because I shouldn't have been surprised, but I was. And God, I believe, was just telling me, look, you've got some things you're praying about. You've got some things you're believing for. Don't be surprised when I meet those needs. And those are the impossible. Not lunch, but other things. To you, those are the impossible. And those matter to me. Your lives matter to me. And glory to God. I like that he shows us little examples from time to time to just say, hey, you did hear my spirit. That was a confirmation. You did hear my spirit. You are tuned in. You know, we're on the same channel here. Don't fear that you're not hearing me. You're hearing me. So just trust. And so trust that you're hearing God. You don't have to put a lot of effort into it. Just know that you know that when he speaks, especially when he confirms, it's just like, okay, God, I didn't miss you. I really am tuned in. And I like how he confirms it. So that was just a little something.
Praise God. Any more testimonies? Calvin had a trailer come home this week. That was really a testimony. Every once in a while, we'll stick something that we haven't been able to give away on the road and just put free on it, and people always pick it up right away. But he usually puts it on a trailer, and he takes it down there with a tractor. Well, he had just taken the trailer with an old air conditioner or cooler that we couldn't give away or couldn't use, and he put it by the door and put out down at the road and put free on the cooler. It was written on the cooler itself, free. And they took the trailer. And it was a trailer it wasn't worth a whole lot. It was a trailer, but he's had it for years and was sentimental to him, and he wanted it. And so he wrote out a sign and said, "Hey, neighbor, the cooler was free, not the trailer. I would really like to have the trailer back." So he stuck the sign down on the road, and Sunday, when we went home from church, the trailer was sitting by right where they took it. We have no idea who it was, but they brought it back, and so that was really a blessing. So he put a big thank you sign down at the road. So anyway, that was just a little blessing, but it was a blessing. Hallelujah. Well, you guys have an awesome rest of the week, and just enjoy the love of God.